Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
With us on this long weekend. Tomorrow, on the 11th day of the 11th month, at exactly 11 a.m., Canadians will pause for a moment of silence to commemorate the brave men and women of our armed forces on Remembrance Day. Taking time to remember those who fought for our nation, those who continue to fight for our nation, especially those who have paid the ultimate price with their lives. And every year we recognize that the freedoms that we enjoy today, those freedoms came at a great price. And the poppies that we wear close to our hearts help us to show respect for the support that we have for our Canadian troops and our allies from around the world who bravely fought by their side. And it is that shared history and courage, the sacrifice of those people who have made our nation what it is today, as strong as it is. So I encourage all of you tomorrow to get out into the community to attend one of the many gatherings that are taking place to celebrate and commemorate these heroes who are deserving, very deserving of our honor. And you know what? I want to encourage all of you to continue to pray for our troops, as well as all the brave first responders who every day put their life on the line for you and I to make sure that we are safe. May God keep our land glorious and free. All right. Today we move into week number 5 of an 8-week message series called You Asked For It, as we tackle some of the most asked questions over the past year that have been fielded by our pastoral team. And we are always endeavoring to pastor our church family more effectively, and that all starts with listening to what each of you are going through, listening to the questions that you're trying to work through. So as a bit of a recap, here are some of the questions that we've covered so far in our series. Week 1, we started with one of the most asked questions that we've heard over the past year: how do I handle anxiety? Week 2, we looked at why do bad things happen to good people? Week 3, who is the Holy Spirit? And then last week, on week 4, we talked about who is the persecuted church? Which brings us to today, week number 5. And we're going to talk about a question that we hear quite often, and that is, why is giving so important? Now, if you've missed any of the messages to date, no worries at all. We have you covered. You can pick them up anytime by watching them on demand on our Calvary YouTube channel. And when you go there and you watch those videos, would you like and subscribe? It will help us to get the word out, to broaden our audience. You can also listen to these messages that are archived on our website or anywhere that you listen to your favorite podcasts. Now, on this weekend of remembrance, I'm also mindful of the incredibly generous individuals and families who have contributed their time, their talent, and their treasure, their finances, to help move the mission of Calvary forward. As they continue to be faithful in their giving over the many years that we've been here. Those who have faithfully given their tithes of their income, offerings above and beyond that, to help build this church, to help staff this church, to lay down asphalt and have a parking lot, have comfy seats and warm air in the building as the weather starts to cool off. Those that have sacrificed and given to help us pay the mortgage off for this church so that we can be mortgage-free today. So I'm blessed. We are blessed. Each of you are blessed to be a part of a church family who believes in kids, in students, in singles, in marrieds, in seniors, a church who has a heart for evangelism, to share the gospel with those in our community, to believe God to move in our city. That's the kind of church that we belong to. A church that believes in taking the gospel to the ends of the earth through world missions. all while providing the very best resources that we can provide to ensure your growth, your family's growth as a disciple of Christ. So can we take a moment today just to acknowledge those who have come before us, those who call their church home today, and thank them for their faithful generosity. Let me say to you, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness in your giving. Calvary Church has always been, and I believe forever will be, a very generous church. So let's keep growing. Let's keep giving. Let's keep reaching the lost and helping to raise up fully devoted followers of Christ. I want to encourage you today to not settle where you are. Don't stay where you are today. God never intended for you to stay where you started. And that's why he's given us the Word of God, to help guide us through that journey, that process. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17 says, all scripture, all of it, is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's what we're doing throughout this series, not just answering questions that you have with opinions, but taking those questions and grounding them in scripture, so that the servant of God, that's you and I, may be thoroughly equipped. Not just equipped, not just a little bit, but thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, he wants you and I to be thoroughly equipped to reflect his image in the world that we're living in today. And he's given us his word to guide us on that journey. And he has always intended for each of you to keep growing, to never plateau, to never stop and think, well, I've arrived. No, he wants you to keep growing, keep stretching in every area of your life. And that includes your giving, which we're talking about today. So why is giving so important? Well, this is a topic that you actually can't get away from in Scripture. There's almost 10 times as many mentions of this topic than even prayer. And prayer is a pretty important topic, our communication with God. There's almost 3 times as many mentions of this topic than love. And we know love is an incredibly important cornerstone when it comes to what's in your Bible. But you can't just have love unless you give it away, right? Unless you give love. We have been hardwired, each and every one of us, to give and to live generous lives, to follow his example. But you still have to choose to live that way, to be intentional in that process. To basically say, in every area of my life, I'm going to choose to live generously. I'm going to choose to give my life away in service to others. Now, we've just come through a very colorful week in the news, especially south of the border. The U.S. presidential election has not only influenced world politics, but sadly, it has disrupted and divided close-knit communities, churches, and even families. Even though most people would agree that there's lots of things and policies that need to change, people are divided when it comes to how to get that done. They're divided as to who they will follow to get that done. I have a good friend who lives in Oklahoma City, and a couple of weeks ago he said to me, man, I cannot wait until this election is over, till things settle down again. He said, I've got family members who are not even talking to one another right now. Now that's pretty sad when you think about it. But that is the sad reality that also causes many people to pull back in their giving, their generosity when it comes to investing their lives in other people. And it comes and it's based out of a fear of people just saying, I just gotta to bunker down and look after me and my own. But you know what? It's the example of Jesus himself to give his life away to others, to not just believe in love, but Jesus demonstrate what it looked like to give that love away, to lay down his life for those that he came to forgive. That's a powerful, powerful picture. And you know what? We can choose. We can make a decision to pull back, maybe to get sucked into that self-preservation mode, or we can choose to live generously, even in tight times, even in times where we can still look after our families. Now, again, I'm not saying that it's not important to look after those you love, because it is. But never stop giving of yourself. Never stop modeling to those you love what a life of giving and generosity looks like. Now, it's going to take more than the right political candidate to get the job done. And as the church, we need to continue to be a conduit of his love and of his generous provision to flow to the world and to the people around us. Someone wisely said, the value of life isn't determined by how much I achieve or accumulate, but how much of my life I actually give away. You see, the joy that's found in giving your life away and making a difference in the world around you has the potential to bring more joy into your life than anything else I could ever teach you. The Bible says it like this in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. It says, give freely and become more wealthy or more prosperous. Another translation says, the world of the generous grows larger and larger. Scripture goes on to say, be stingy and lose everything. Or their world gets smaller and smaller. And then in the next verse in this same chapter in the NIV, in Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person or a giving person will prosper. Whoever refreshes or gives to others will be refreshed. Now, I don't want you to be afraid of that word prosper or prosperity. That word has been taken out of context and warped over the years with extreme teaching that's been twisted around personal motivations. And so I don't want you to miss it. Even Spock understood live long and prosper. You see, the word prosper in Hebrew is the word salak, which literally means God will push you forward. So every time that you align yourself with the God way, he steps in and says, okay, if you're going to walk in step with me, then I am going to step into your situation and move you forward. I'm going to move you past anything that you could ever possibly accomplish on your own. When his anointing, when his direction, when his provision is with us, he can take us to the places he's created us to go because we're going there with him. Psalm 112, verse 5 says, God will come to those who are generous and lend or give freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Then we jump into the New Testament, and the Apostle Paul is talking to a young pastor named Timothy, and he says, I need you to tell this to the people of your church. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19 says, tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, which is really the heart of my message to you today, to go after God in every part of your life. The God who piles on all the riches we could ever imagine to do good, to be rich, listen, not just in your bank account, to be rich in helping others. Talking about real prosperity, right? Where God will push you forward in those areas as you give to others. To be extravagantly generous, the Bible says. Watch what happens when we do it. If they do that, they will build a treasury that will last. Talking about heaven now. You see, we need to let what we give through our life actually outlast our life so that gaining life, that we would experience true life. In other words, giving is living. It's a part of who we are, what we've been created to be. Now, let me give you one more from the living word himself, from the big gun. Acts 20, verse 35 says, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now that word blessed there is makarios in the Greek, which means internal joy regardless of circumstance. So now you've found a joy that you have deep within you that gives you strength regardless of what's going on in your life. And really, this is at the heart of honoring God first with the tithe of our income, with our offerings, with our time that we invest in others, and with our talents and our gifts that we use to serve and help others. Now, I think in order to truly understand the significance of giving in our lives, we need to once again return to Scripture to kind of see it in action, both in its motivation and its effect. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, Paul is writing a letter to challenge a church that he planted in Corinth. And he's encouraging each of them to give in this special offering that he's taking up for the church in Jerusalem. This is the mothership church, right? This is the church that started it all, where everything began. So he wants to bless them, and he wants them to be a part of this offering. But more importantly, he wants them to understand the importance of giving. And he uses a story of a church with little means in Macedonia as an example to provoke and challenge them to look a little deeper at their motivation. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." Now, he doesn't say, "Let me tell you about the money that God has given the Macedonian churches because they're giving so much." No, he's talking about the grace of God within their lives. Paul wants them to see the significance of giving is only realized when we give with the right motivation. Not because we have to, but because we get to, right? It's very important to understand that, because we want to. Something that they, in their example, in the Macedonian church, were doing. So let me give you a few things that we see in these two chapters that helps us to kind of zero in on our motivation when it comes to giving. The first one is that we need to give joyfully. Now, if you haven't found the fun in giving, then really you're missing it. You have the ability with what you give of yourself to transform someone's life. You have the ability with what you give here in this church to expand the footprint of the gospel, not only in our city, but around the world, to help raise up a next generation. Every time you give on a Sunday, every time you press those buttons on the debit machine or give online, I want you to know that you are investing into the gospel message, going into the world and changing people's lives. But you've got to give joyfully, understanding that at the center of it all is that joy that wells up within us, like we see here in this church. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2, talking again about the Macedonian church, Paul using it more as an example, he says, "In the midst of a very severe trial," this is what this church was going through, "their overflowing joy," not their overcoming, their overflowing wealth, "their overcoming joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity." Isn't that something that they can have overwhelming joy and poverty even at the same time? So these people are giving out of their need. They're not giving out of their excess. They're not giving because they've got too much and don't know what to do with it. We might as well give it away. They're giving out of their need. It's important that we see this because they understood what it means to give in these moments with overflowing joy. Listen, when you're thankful and you understand all that God has done for you, you realize how you can bless others. I've talked about a pastor that I knew in Eastern Canada on a couple of occasions. But I knew this pastor who used to be a businessman, then kind of went into ministry in Eastern Canada. And he's probably the most generous person I've ever known. He is the kind of person that just truly takes great delight and joy in blessing others. He quietly pay people's bills and help people pay off different debts that they had. He didn't look for glory. You wouldn't even know about it unless you've heard it from people that were close to him. But at any given time, if you were in a restaurant and he recognized you, you may not even know he was sitting there with his wife. You would often ask for the bill and they would say, "Oh no, it's already been taken care of." "By who?" "Well, the gentleman over there." And so if you did get a chance to see him, because oftentimes he'd pay it and leave, but if you did see him, you'd see this smile on his face and a little nod. This man lived in the joy of giving. He understood what his generosity could mean in the lives of other people. And that has always blessed me. That has always stuck out in my mind of understanding that we need to give joyfully. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, God loves a what? A cheerful giver. The Greek word here for cheerful is hilaros, which is where we get the word hilarious. And so it's talking about being a hilarious, cheerful, joyful giver. To not feel like somebody is pulling it out of your wallet or something you have to do, but something that you want to do because you realize how you can bless others. The second thing that we see in both these chapters is that we need to give selflessly. You see, when Paul was talking about the generous giving of the Macedonians, he didn't actually focus on how much they gave, but how they gave, how invested they were in what they were giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 says, and they exceeded our expectations. In other words, they went above and beyond. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So they didn't just give their money, they gave themselves. We have so many wonderful people in this church, and our small groups, our Calvary groups are really a testimony of that, that give each and every week to those that are in their groups. This is our bigger family. Those are the smaller families within our church, the groups of people that minister to one another in the hospitals, help one another through difficult times, help meet the needs of those that are struggling. These are people that don't do it for fanfare. They don't do it for a pat on the back. They do it because they do it selflessly. And they put themselves in a place where it's like, you know what? I have the opportunity to help this individual through a difficult time. Right now, today, in this church, you have the opportunity to be the answer to somebody else's prayer. God can use you to be a blessing to others. John Bonnell once said, if one first gives himself to the Lord, all other giving is easy. That's powerful. You know, I'm not just talking about giving money, but even when I do give my money, I'm not just giving, a certain amount. When I give my money, I'm giving myself. It's a piece of me. When you invest your finances in this church, when you tithe on your income, you're giving the tangible part of who you are. It represents the hard work that you've put in. And God honors that. Jesus demonstrated that same willingness, that same selfless attitude when he laid down his life. Jesus saw a sin problem in the world. He didn't just pull out his checkbook. Yeah, let me cut you a check here and take care of this. Jesus didn't even say, let's send down the best angel we got. No, no. Jesus gave of himself. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Jesus, the Son of God, is the indescribable gift that God has given because of his love to each of you. He's given Jesus as a gift to all of you. But Jesus himself willingly laid down his life so that you could pick yours up and live it. So give selflessly. The third thing that we see in these two chapters, as Paul is challenging the Corinthian church by talking about what God was doing with the Macedonians, the generosity that they demonstrated, we see also a challenge and motivation to give willingly. In other words, we're not giving because we have to. So whenever you're in a situation where you have an opportunity to give, ask yourself, am I feeling obligated right now, or am I feeling honored to do what I'm doing? You see, the Macedonian church gave willingly, not out of obligation. And sometimes people get a little kind of out of sorts when we start talking about tithing because they feel like that it's being pushed on them. And they'll say, well, Pastor Steve, isn't tithing an Old Testament law? Well, sure it is, which means you don't have to do it. You're not obligated to do it, but it doesn't make the principle of honoring God first disappear. See, that truth is still in motion. It only changes the motivation of why you do it. Now you don't have to do it under the law. You get to do it. We do it willingly. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus came to change our motivation, that we're not feeling forced or pressured to do this because of what the law says. We're doing it under the freedom that Jesus has come to give us. And now we give with joy. We give selflessly. We give willingly, not because somebody's wrestling it out of our wallet. And then finally, Paul, in his challenge to the Corinthian church, is challenging them to give intentionally, which today we need to understand means you give with a plan. You plan to give. See, Paul returns to this church in Corinth, and they're excelling in almost every area, but he sees them with a need to stretch and to grow in this area of giving. He wants them to understand, like I do today, to understand why giving is so important. And out of this understanding, to be intentional in how they live their lives, in how they give their lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, "You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure." Never be manipulated in your giving. If you feel that, back away. Anytime I've ever felt that kind of pressure, I've always backed away. This message today is not working towards now me taking up a special offering on this Sunday. It's not. It's me answering a question that people want answers to. Why is giving so important? It has so much to do with our motivation to be intentional, to give willingly, to give joyfully, to give selflessly. I want this message to stir you, not to bring pressure to your life. I want you to discover the great blessing and the great joy that comes when God can pour himself into you because he knows you'll be a conduit to let it keep flowing to the world around you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for Calvary. I thank you for this church. I thank you for those that are watching the broadcast, whether they go to our church or not. Maybe you're tuning in from somewhere around the world. Maybe you're here in the auditorium today, and you're here as a visitor for the first time. I want you to know that ultimately we give because we're following the example of our Savior. Jesus gave his life to each of us. His Father loved you and me so much that he did what? He gave his Son, his only begotten Son, so that if we would call on his name, if we would believe in him, that we would have everlasting life. Today, I want you to find that joy, to live in the power of that reality. And if you're here today in this auditorium on Sunday, or if you're watching online and you don't know him, maybe you're searching, maybe you need the hope, maybe your finances are a mess and you're thinking, how can I ever even think of giving when I'm just making it paycheck to paycheck? We've seen an example in the Macedonian church of those that gave out of their need and were blessed because of it. I want you to walk in that blessing in every part of your life. And if that's you today, and you need to experience his love, his hope, then pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge today my need for a Savior. I thank you, God, that you sent your Son to die on Calvary's cross to forgive me of my sin. Please today come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior, and help me to live a giving life, to give joyfully, selflessly, willingly, to give in a way that is intentional, because we want our lives to be a blessing to others as you were to each of us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. I want to tell you today that if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, if you're watching online, go ahead and tell the host, and let them know. They'd love to pray with you. They'd also like to get you some information to help you grow. If you're here today in the building and you're praying that prayer, then this is also an opportunity for you to take a next step. It's important to say yes to Christ. It's also equally important to grow as a disciple. God's best, Calvary. Have an amazing week.